First of all, I'd like to say thank you all for coming out tonight and being with us, and I invite you to pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. So last week we started this series on Jonah, and we got up to the point where Jonah was tossed overboard. But Jonah is a minor prophet in the Bible, and believe it or not, the way the prophets are determined whether they're minor or major is by how big the book is that they wrote. So Jonah has four chapters, Isaiah has 66. So Isaiah is a major prophet, Jonah is a minor prophet. He's running away from God, and we talked about providence. We talked about God's will and our will, and which wins out when there is the battle of the will. When I want to do something and there is a sense in which I feel that God, the Creator, the Divine, is calling me to do something else, who wins? Which will has the most power? So we talked about providence, and we talked about God's love for humanity and God's way of directing us. And have you ever experienced that in your life? And Jonah is running away from God, what God wants Jonah to do, and Jonah is running to Tarshish. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh because Nineveh is the capital of the city that hates Israel the most, and Israel is in battle. And so he doesn't want to go and share God's love with the people in Nineveh. And then the question that I asked, and this particular section has a lot of questions, so you're going to leave here with more questions than answers. But one of the questions we asked is, are there people or places that we would rather go in the opposite direction than seeing? There's a story in the New Testament where there is this beggar, the Good Samaritan story. Many of you might have heard it. And the priest and all of these officials, one person crossed on the other side of the street to avoid seeing this homeless person on the street. And so what kinds of things do we do to avoid doing what we may believe God wants us to do? So the fish and the whale. Verse 4, the Lord hurled a great wind of the sea, and there was a great storm and on the sea that the ship was about to break up. In this verse, really, it highlights this collision or this battle between God's will and our sovereignty, the human will. God's will and our will, the battle of the wills, that's what's going on. What are some battles, is where I left off asking, what are some battles that you're fighting in your life? You don't need to answer it out loud. What are some battles that you are fighting in your life? It may not be the battle of the wills, but what are some battles you and I are fighting in our life? I'm not referring to those that we read or hear about in the news. I'm talking about the wars that rage within us. The wars that rage in, wars like holding on to resentment, allowing frustration to overwhelm us, wishing for something easier, wondering why trials or difficulties we encounter them in our life, missing one's personal freedom. What are some battles that you are personally fighting or I'm fighting in my life? In the scripture, the battle of the will is a struggle between God's will and the human desire. And Jonah only seems to prevail so far. And then the Lord intervenes powerfully. Why do you think that is? Are we puppets in God's hand? Why does God intervene in this situation? By his own will and power, Jonah was able to do everything that he wanted to do to avoid doing what he believed God wanted him to do. He bought a ticket, got on the ship, went down to Tarshish. He did his own thing. I did it my way, like we sang last week. By God's will and power, Jonah was, though, prevented from reaching his preferred destination. Have you ever encountered any roadblocks in your life? What's causing those? Have you ever encountered any roadblocks in your life? In chapter 1, verse 12, Jonah, recognizing the storm had come from the Lord, and he implored the crew then to throw him overboard. And so they did, and the sea stopped raging. How does Jonah reach this conclusion? That if you throw me overboard, everything will settle down. See, I told you I have a lot of questions. And I think when you read the Bible, you should read it with lens that ask questions, difficult questions. Was his request to be thrown overboard yet another attempt to escape doing what he believed God wanted him to do? I'd rather die than go to those people. Are there situations like that in our life? Are there people like that in our life? I'd rather die than help that person. I'd rather die than go to that community. You know, we struggle sometimes with this whole concept of not in my backyard as it pertains to the unhoused. And so I won't take it to that extreme, but I'd rather die than to go and see these people receive love and grace from God. That's an extreme. The next part of the story is probably the most familiar and possibly the most problematic part of the story. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and three nights. There are none here, I'm sure, who doubt the veracity of this account. What do you think about that? Big fish. I mean, it's just legend. This is where you talk back to me. I mean, we said we wanted to do this kind of sermon, so here it is. You want to talk back to me. Well, God created this great fish. There are those who would prefer to see this account as a myth. And you're free to do that. So am I. You know, when I was in seminary, one of the professors said that the crossing of the Red Sea, because of the location of the children of Israel during that time of history, there was not really a sea. There was just a body of water that was only about 4 feet tall. So there was no Red Sea that drowned all the Israelites who were coming after the children of Israel, or the Egyptians who were coming after the children of Israel. And then someone in the class, a smart aleck, said, well, that's even more powerful because God drowned all of them in just 4 feet of water. So what do you think? What do you say about this whole idea? I think the extent to which, and if you want to talk back, just raise your hand or just jump in. The extent to which God goes to save the people of Nineveh, the enemies of the Israelites, is really profound. And it made me ask the kind of question, to what extent would I go to extend help to someone else? To what extent would I go to allow someone else to experience the grace and the love of God? Often when the scriptures are preached or taught, they're taught from the perspective that there is no grace in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is just law. But there's a lot of grace in this story. That God would go to the extent of chasing Jonah down to get Jonah to go to a people that Jonah hates so that they can be converted and experience the love and grace of God. Is the God of the Bible, who is recorded as being the creator of the sea, in fact, in the passage that Shane just read for us, said, the God who created, who is your God? My God is the one who created the sea. My God is the one who created the earth. Is that God not able to manipulate a single fish? Question number one. Is the God of the Bible, who created the stars and calls them by name, unable to create a storm capable of breaking up a ship? Question number two. Is one guilty of reducing God to what we can reason in our mind? Is God only limited to my ability to conceive of God? So I threw out three questions. Have you read the book by J.B. Phillips? It's entitled, Your God is Too Small. What difference is there, if any, between the God that you and I create and the God in the Bible? Is there a difference? Is there a difference in your mind and in my mind? Can the plans of God, the God of the Bible, can those plans be thwarted? Can you and I make God change God's mind? We got an answer. Maybe. God of the Bible, who declared that Jonah would go to Nineveh, seems to be sure you're going. You know, it's kind of like a parent. Yeah, you're going. You're going to school today. And even if it means manipulating the weather, even if it means manipulating a great fish, God said, you're going.
Not yet.
I can open up a floodgate of questions that we could ask. Do I have free will? Can I make my own decision?
Tell you.
What happens when I make a decision? Can God overrule my decision? And if so, am I not independent? What happened to my autonomy? And I may not answer any of those questions. I really want you to think about them this week. Are we strings on a puppet or puppets on a string that God is just saying, okay, go here, go there, do this, do that? You see, Sean.
I was waiting for that. Because what jumps out to me in that passage is something Christine and I talk about all the time, which is, is God involved day to day? Our day-to-day lives? Is it more than overseeing? Is it more start and let it go and hope things work all right? Not really sure, but what jumps out at me in that passage is the captain asks Jonas, doesn't he say, pray to God, maybe he will take note. Maybe he will take note instead of he's taking note of everything every second. It doesn't say that. Now, I don't know what the captain knows, but that phrase jumps.
Very good. Last week when we concluded, I was having a conversation with Brian, and he pointed out, yeah, you forgot to tell him that, you know, that people worship many different gods during that period of time. So that's why Jonah was encouraged to call upon your God, because obviously the people on the ship believed that the God that Jonah was serving was more powerful than their God. I am somewhat hesitant to, there are even some worship songs that I won't sing, you know, because it just turns a different image in my mind. You know, there's this one song, Our God is an Awesome God, He reigns with power from above. And I'm like, you know, sometimes I hear people singing that and it's, my God's going to kick your butt. I don't know that's the image I want to have of God. But there is a sense in which the God of the Bible, at least the Hebrew God, was the one that was recognized, even by the people on the boat, as being more powerful than the gods that they serve. I want to suggest to you that the book of Jonah is so much about, is not so much about what happened inside the whale. Whether you want to believe the whale happened or not, that's totally up to you. But I want to suggest that the book of Jonah is not as much about what happened inside the whale as it is about what happened inside of Jonah. What happened inside of Jonah. This book is not about a fish, as far as I've seen. It's about a wrestling match between Jonah's will, and God's will. And I would dare say that sometimes the situations that we're in, it's really a wrestling match about who's going to win, my will or God's will. And it is on this level that I believe we should really engage the text and apply these lessons to our life. Jonah wanted to go to Tarshish. He paid the fare to get there in verse 3. But in the end, Jonah didn't get where he wanted to go, even though he had paid the way to get there. What's your destination? I love the passage, and the King James Version is really interesting. As in addition to its yeas and the thous and the shout nots, the King James Version said that when the storm started, the men started rowing harder. And I remember this sermon from 40 years ago. You say, how could you remember from 40 years ago when you're only 39? Good question. I remember the sermon from 40 years ago, the pastor of the church that I grew up in, and he was preaching. He said, nevertheless, the men rowed hard. And sometimes it's hard rowing when we're going against the current. Sometimes it's hard rowing when we're going against our conscience. Sometimes it's hard rowing when we're going against what we know is right and what we know we should do or stand up for. They rowed hard. They were trying to get through the storm and they were fighting the waves and they rowed hard. I've experienced it in my life, the hard rowing, whether it's me running away from God or running away from responsibility. Hard rowing. What's the destination? Where are you headed? What plans do you have for your life that have been thwarted? More importantly, from where did these plans originate? I told you I got a lot of questions. And many of them I'm asking myself. So you can join in on the conversation that I'm having myself. What are some takeaways from the life of Jonah? What happens when our will collides? Well, whatever you believe God's will. Does God's will ultimately always prevail? Or can I just do my own thing? What are the consequences of doing my own thing? Am I allowed to go my own way? Ron, let me know if there's any questions or thoughts or comments. For our family on Zoom, feel free to unmute and just chime in. We did this kind of conversational message a couple of weeks ago, and it was pretty good feedback, so we're trying it through the book of Jonah. Alignment. I preached a sermon several years ago about getting back on the road after you've been on sidebar something. And I looked up alignment in the cars. You know, if your car has ever been out of alignment, it kind of pulls to one side. And I wonder if that's what happens in our life. For those who claim faith or believe in God or seek God's guidance in their life. I wonder if that's what's happening when we find ourselves just being pulled to one. Alignment can mess up your tires because one tire will be worn, the tire on this side will be worn off, and the tire on that side will be new. Alignment can mess up all kinds of things in your car. So what does it mean to be aligned with God? What if Jonah had simply chosen to obey God in the first place? I mean, I had this crazy question. What if Judas didn't betray God, betray Jesus? What would happen then? Does it mean Jesus wouldn't die on the cross? What if Jonah had just said, okay, I'll go. What about the hardship that Jonah experienced? Who or what caused it? Was it God? Was it Jonah? Was it both of them? All of this hardship that he experienced. By doing his own will and going his own way, did Jonah only make his life more difficult, as I believe you're at least partially suggesting? He endured a great storm. He endured being thrown overboard into the sea. He endured being swallowed up by a fish. Is it always just pride that constantly causes you and I to believe that we know what's best? I mean, there's a side of me that, like, you know, God, and I'm being honest here. There's a side of me that says, God, you know, I'll call you when I need you. I can handle this. Is that wrong? Is that sinful? Should I stop preaching? I think there's a side of all human beings, these people of faith, that would say, you know, I'll take care of this. I don't need you. I got this, God. How is the will of God determined? Jero.
I don't have an answer to that. But what I guess I'm wondering is, like, when you're out of alignment with God and doing your own thing, if you don't know what God's intentions for you are.
Great.
And I think so many people, including myself, are out of touch with that.
Yeah.
I haven't found that.
Yeah.
So, you know, how do you really know?
Yeah. Any thoughts? I have thoughts. I can share them. But anyone else? Anyone else have thoughts? Yeah. I think that one of the ways that I use to check alignment is scripture, you know, and in prayer. And I think I also trust other people to help me be aligned with scripture and prayer. So it's not enough for me to be in prayer. It's not enough for me to read my Bible. But there's a verse in the Bible that says, let all things be accounted by two or three witnesses. So if I'm saying God wants me to do something, and scripture clearly doesn't support that, and you come to me and say, I don't think that's right either, then I might want to think about that alignment, whether I'm actually trying to follow God or follow my own will. I mean, that's just a basic, simplistic answer to a very profound question.
I guess, you know, what if just the desire of seeking God's will is enough? You know, whether we, because what Jero was saying, you know, I feel the same sometimes, you know, am I aligned right now with what God wants for me? I don't know. You know, the way I'm feeling right now suggests no. But, you know, I don't know. So, you know, it's to me, it's the seeking and the desire that God looks for, and you just do what is coming next for you, and then somehow we end up, maybe we'll end up where God intended us to be, because I believe we all have a purpose and plan, we don't have to always know what it is.
I think that's a great starting place. That's a good heart. I want to treat people right. I want to love my enemies. I want to do all those things that are supported biblical principles. And so that's a nice starting place, you know, that I want to do that. I want to do those things that keep me connected with the divine and connected with human beings. Because if you look at the Ten Commandments, they're really commandments on how to stay in relationship with God and in relationship with others. So half of the commandments go this way, and the other half go this way. So if I have this relationship right, hopefully it'll make this relationship, me and you, right. So that's a great starting point. You know, am I doing those things, or do I desire to do those things that keep me connected, not only this way, but this way? How is the will of God determined? Is it determined by democracy, or is it a theocracy? There are many commandments and exhortation in Scripture. Is there a place for negotiation?
I've negotiated. That's all I always think about. That's why I say maybe, because I'm always thinking about, well, I've negotiated, you know?
Abraham negotiated. If I find 40, if I find 30, if I find, give me 10, give me 5. Is there a place for negotiation?
I don't have an answer for that.
You don't have any answers.
No, you know, just regarding this scripture and the passage, I mean, like, you know, Jonah didn't follow the will of God, and therefore there were consequences, right? And so what does that say for people who suffer, you know, sometimes horrible consequences that are out of their control?
Natural disasters, wars,
exactly.
Famine, when there's more than enough food in the world to feed everybody. We throw away enough food in America to feed the world. All those kinds of consequences. Who is not obeying in that process? Or is that even a factor that we can look at? Sean?
Born with something,
yeah.
And had a chance
not
to fall on the road.
Yeah.
Yes? I was just going to say in answer to that, that I think I read the book of Genesis in a study, and if you want to see problems, dysfunctional families, you know, weather issues, you know, everything is in that book. But you see, and it's really helped me with, you know, problems in life and seeing people suffering, that there's a much larger picture than just that one story. And that, you know, God has a plan through everything. So it's helped me to, you know, go through calamities knowing that there's a larger thing going on. That's at least how I see it.
Anyone on Zoom,
Ron? There are a couple comments.
Okay, will you?
Yes.
You want the mic?
Yeah.
Ron is going to read the comments from Zoom, so we're just going to take a moment.
The first comment is from Terry. Sometimes our circumstances force us to stop and reevaluate the course we will take. 3 days, whether in the belly of a whale or being alone with yourself, to think and rethink about your choice, still our choice, but God nudges us in the right direction.
Thank you, Terry.
And Don and Cindy wrote, and God, in God's grace, provided that time for Jonah to rethink his choice instead of letting him drown.
Yeah. Okay, here's a question that just started. What if Jonah had gotten out of the whale and said, I still ain't going? That would have been Did God appoint this fish to deliver Jonah? I mean, are there situations that come in our life to save us?
Yes.
Because the next step we're going to take, whether it's God, whether it's someone else, the next step we're going to take is going to lead down a road that is not good for us. And it's not beneficial for humanity. So these roadblocks, these side steps that we take maybe can lead us down a different path. Have you ever wondered how many things had to fall in place for you to be here today? Just, you know, all of the things that had to fall in place, that at 5 o'clock all of you were here. Nobody encountered an accident, I don't think. You might have seen some near misses. Are those just coincidence? I mean, is it something that's being orchestrated by a higher power than we know? Do you see the choices before you? What are they? I would venture that most of us in here are facing at least one challenging decision in the next couple of weeks. And I'm not trying to be prophetic or anything, but we all face those kind of decisions in our life. Which road are you going to take? How do you know which road to take? It doesn't help from this text to say that God is trying to guide us, trying to lead us. Or does that just make it more complicated? What about the storms? Who's causing them? What's causing them? Where they're intended to take us? What decisions are they intended to help us really make? Where they're intended to have us land? I think, and with this I'm going to end, and then we'll pick up next week in chapter 2. There's this song that you all sing, The Endless Love of God. It's kind of chasing after the reckless love of God. I want to believe that reckless love of God was in place here for a people that probably didn't deserve it. Just like the reckless love of God is in place for each of us. Jonah knew what would happen if he would go and preach. They would convert. I mean, God's going to burn you up. Okay, I'm saved. Baptize me. That relentless pursuit is what really fascinates me about Jonah. The depth to which God would go to save a people. How far would you and I go to see that someone is not spiritually saved, but rescued from homelessness, rescued from a battered relationship, rescued from an addiction? How far would you go? How far would I go? How many nights would you stay up with someone? How long would you stay on the phone? I have a friend, he came here and spoke for us, James Ron. One day, James is a recovering alcoholic. He's been sober for 30 years. I didn't even know he was an alcoholic when we went to high school together. One day he called me, he said, Kenneth, how you doing? I said, hey, I'm good. He said, oh, I'm driving home. I said, good. And this was 12 o'clock, midnight. I knew what James was doing. He said, I need to talk to someone so I don't get something to drink. And I got to talk to you until I get home. Yes. How long will you stay on the phone with someone to keep them from going off track? The reckless love of God. God, we thank you. And God, I would be lying if I said I had answers to all those questions. The reality is some of those questions are still haunting me. and I'm processing them. So I thank you for a safe place where we can throw those questions out and just contemplate. What does it mean to have our will, and what does it mean to even desire to know your will and then even to follow your will? Amen.